Well, let's start. Okay, the topic is Jesus is the good shepherd of your life, taken from Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. Psalm 23, John chapter 10. One of the most common images in all the Bible, both Old and New Testament, is that of the shepherd. Even though most of us have not been brought up and raised on a farm, we all know basically what a shepherd is about and does for his living. Shepherd and sheep. Common sense tells us that the shepherd tends the sheep of his flock. Flock might be big, small, or medium size. In any case, the shepherd is responsible for his sheep, all in one. Shepherd has a double responsibility. First, shepherd must watch over, guide, protect, and at times defend the whole of his flock from dangers. However, the responsibility of the shepherd also is to watch over each and every one of his sheep individually. If you like, he calls each by name. In other words, the whole flock is important, but also each sheep individually. Enemy of the flock, any sheep. For all the animal that threatens most seriously the welfare of the flock and individual sheep is that of the wolf. Wolf compared to sheep. Both are very different and in many ways. Starting with the sheep. This animal is very weak and in many ways. The sheep is not strong and does not have sharp claws for defense. Still more, the sheep do not have very much of a memory. That is to say, if the sheep wanders from the flock, there is a good chance that the sheep does not know how to get back to the flock and the safety of the rod of the shepherd. The wolf. On the other hand, the wolf is a very intelligent animal. You might call him tricky, astute, crafty, and to a certain extent mean. Furthermore, even though the wolf is not a big animal, he is very fast, has sharp teeth, and goes for the kill. To make things worse, many wolves travel in packs. That means they have good teamwork skills. Often they surround their prey and attack as a team. Hard to escape such a vicious and intelligent team tactic. Let me tell you a story I once saw on National Geographic a few years ago. I saw there was a buffalo that was running in the wilderness. Probably know that a buffalo is big, strong, pretty fast. Probably weighs, you know, at least 500 pounds. And he was just running in the wilderness, kicking up dust. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this wolf started running behind him. But the buffalo was not aware of it, because the wolf was running behind, and with the noise of the hoofs pounding against the ground, kicking up the dirt, he was totally unaware of the fact that the wolf was far behind. He started out by being behind him, I'd say about 2 football fields, 200 yards. And little by little, the wolf was approaching without the buffalo being aware of it. And it was already 100 yards, and that was 75 yards and 50 yards. And the buffalo totally incognizant of the fact that it was about to approach. And then 50 yards, 30 yards, 20 yards, 10 yards, and still the buffalo wasn't aware of it. It was just 1 yard away, and the wolf leaped in the air and bit the back foot of the buffalo, and the buffalo collapsed. As I said, the wolf is about the size of a German Shepherd. It's usually skinnier, but about the size of a German Shepherd. Then what happened, this was done in National Geographic, maybe you've seen some of the Animal Channel, and the buffalo was there, and the one wolf approached, and all of a sudden, there was 2 wolves, and 3, 4, 5, then there was about 10 wolves surrounding the buffalo, and the buffalo couldn't get up and run because of the wounded foot. And all of a sudden, one of the wolves attacked the buffalo and bit into the buffalo. Then a second, then a third, then a fourth, then the fifth. 5 minutes, there was just buffalo bones left. So they had eaten the whole buffalo up. That's what the devil wants to do to us. The devil wants to do that to all of us. The devil is very crafty, very tricky. Jesus calls him the father of lies. Jesus said he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning, the devil. So we try to defend ourselves against the wolf, the devil, by ourselves. We're dead meat. We're dead meat. We try to do it by ourselves. But if we have Jesus as our good shepherd, we're going to win. That's the whole point of this chapter. If we don't walk with Jesus Christ, we're dead meat. We're not going to be able to defend ourselves. Because don't forget, we're like the sheep. Sheep is not strong. Sheep doesn't have claws. Sheep doesn't have sharp teeth. Sheep doesn't have too much of a memory. Sheep, once the sheep is lost, he can't remember where the rest of the flock was. So we're like a sheep. If we stay close to the Good Shepherd, we'll be safe. But if we wander from the Good Shepherd, we're not going to make it. Is that clear?
Yes.
That's the whole thrust. That's the whole thrust of this chapter. Once there was a priest in Alaska who was asked, what's the most difficult thing for you in preaching? He said, the most difficult thing in preaching in Alaska is to preach about shepherd and sheep, because in Alaska you only have a walrus there. So if you've ever been to Alaska, you live there, you've never seen a sheep. We've heard of Alaska, right?
Yeah.
You got the Eskimos, you got igloos, you know, there are no sheep there. So for us to understand what a sheep is, we have to have some mental concept of the sheep. And all of you guys have probably seen sheep. You've maybe been to Mexico or visit your relatives, or driving your car, somewhere in Northern California or in Oregon or other state where there are a lot of sheep. So that's one of the most famous images in the Bible, is that of sheep, shepherd, wolf. Sheep, shepherd, wolf. So we're the sheep, she's the shepherd, and the wolf obviously is the devil. And I'm not saying that the devil is not, the devil is not more powerful than us. But if we try to make it without Jesus, then the devil is more powerful. But if we're with the Lord, the good shepherd, we're going to win the game. But if we try to make it without him, we're dead meat. We're dead meat. So I wrote this chapter and really felt inspired in writing this chapter in the book that we have now, so we understand where we're at, what our defense is going to be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's fill in the blanks and pray that we'll be good sheep to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Number one, who is a good shepherd for us? The response is simple. Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his flock. We've already talked a little bit about the Bible. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you go to your Bible, John chapter 10, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Not like one of the hired laborers, who once he sees the wolf, he takes off. I am the good shepherd. I know every sheep by name. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Good Friday, right? Good Friday. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. So Jesus laid down his life for the sheep, and we're the sheep of his flock. That's John chapter 10. Now what I try to do in writing this out is try to get what is called a literary parallel. The literary parallel is John chapter 10 finds a parallel in Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. Parallel means a similarity. Because Psalm 23 is the most famous psalm in the whole Bible. What is it? The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Even though I have to walk through dark valleys, I fear no evil because you're with me with your rod and your staff. Even though I have to walk through dark valleys, I fear no evil because you're with me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I believe that I'll be walking in the house of the Lord for years to come. Got it memorized. Got it memorized. See, I'm just speaking from memory. See how I have the Bible memorized? Hopefully you guys, after a couple of years, you're going to have a lot of the Bible memorized. Right? Isn't it important to memorize the good things? Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. What are the qualities of the good shepherd? There are many. We should seriously pray over these qualities. Do you know what quality means? Do you know good English? Quality would be a character that describes, right? Quality would be a characteristic that describes. Pray over these qualities and take them to heart in our lives and their relationship to Jesus. Number three. Jesus watches over us as a good shepherd watches over the sheep, right? As a good shepherd watches over us, so Jesus watches over us. This means that Jesus is constantly thinking about us. Constantly thinking about us. Now you might be ashamed to listen to what I'm saying, but when you guys are at school, there's someone that's always thinking about you. It's God, but who else?
My mom.
Yeah. And that's good. Not only is she thinking about you, but often she's praying for you. Right? I know my mom is very, very far away, but she thinks about me and prays a lot for me. And that gives me a lot of peace. Gives me a lot of peace. But even more so, Jesus is always thinking about us. Always. There's never a moment in which he's not thinking about us. That means you guys are really important. Yeah, you're important. So if your mother is thinking about you, that means you're important. But if God is thinking about you, even more important. Right? His eyes never go to sleep, but are constantly fixed. Constantly fixed on us at all time, places, and circumstances. You know, one of my minor sufferings is this: is that I would like to know all of you guys, but all of you by name. But it's not always that easy because you're a big group, and I'd like to know all of you by name. But even I don't know you by name. There's someone who does know you by name, and that's Jesus Christ. Right? He knows you by name. I'd like to know all of you guys by name, and maybe one day I'll be able to memorize, get your name. But Jesus always has your name in his mind and in his heart. That's how important you are. For Jesus, we're not impersonal. Like a cog in a wheel. You know, before becoming a priest, I had probably about 10 different jobs. So I worked pretty hard before becoming a priest. As a priest, I still work. No? One of the jobs I had, I was a teacher, and I also worked. I worked in General Motors. I don't even know what that is. You ever hear of General Motors? General Motors was probably the most famous car assembly, where they make cars. So, and what they do is they make them in a series where they just make them one after the other. And you just, what my job was is every car that passed by had one of those air pistols. And it would, an air pistol, and I'd have to bend over and I'd have to rivet in the aluminum behind the license plate. You ever notice there's a license plate, but behind there's aluminum. So I had to rivet that in every minute and 20 seconds and have to throw the plastic doormat in. And every car was the same. So it was kind of boring, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they paid me a lot of money. So I was able to pay for my college studies by doing that in the summer. No? But that's what I wrote here, is that we're not like one of those cars that are coming off the General Motor Assembly line. No? They're all the same, no? All of us have individual importance in the eyes of God. Okay? All of us have individual importance in the eyes of God. Right? Okay, so it says, we're not a cog in the wheel or a grain of sand on the seashore. Hopefully you like that image. You ever go to the seashore, there are billions of grains of sand? And all of them, you know, who cares? They're not that important because there are so many. We're not like that. All of us have individual, unique, unrepeatable importance. Or a fluttering leaf blown by the wind. You ever see that? I was brought up and raised on the East Coast, and we call this season, here we call it autumn, but where there we call it fall. You know why? Because this time of the year, you ever been to Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut? It's really beautiful. You have what is called the foliage season. You can look up at a tree, and the tree almost looks like an arbor rainbow. One tree, you can see five different colors. It's incredible. And you're driving your car from Massachusetts to New Hampshire to Maine, up into Canada. You can see miles and miles and miles of these beautiful trees. And one leaf can be green, yellow, orange, red at the same time. It's incredible. That shows the beauty of God. The beauty of God. His eyes never go to sleep. His eyes never go to sleep, but are constantly fixed on us at all. Rather, Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. He knows each and every one of us by name. And there are any sociology majors. There's about 7 billion people in the world now. That's a lot, isn't it? About 7 billion. God knows everyone by name. He knows our first name, our middle name, even our last name. And he'll never forget it. Did it ever happen to you, you were talking to maybe someone that you knew, and all of a sudden you said the wrong name, you felt kind of embarrassed because you got the name wrong?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? I've actually done that in masses and weddings. They got the name wrong and they corrected me. I felt so embarrassed. Huh? But God never forgets our name. He never gets it wrong. He never fails to pronounce it well. Right? So we are all very important. We're all very important to Jesus. Now, if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have come and he would have died on the cross just for you. For you too. That's how important you are. Think about that. He would have died on the cross for you if you're the only person in the world. That's how important we are. John Paul II says we should recognize the dignity of the human person. We all have great dignity. I call it the two D's. Dignity and destiny. Dignity, we're sons of God. Destiny, heaven. Our ultimate destiny is heaven. Our dignity is we're sons of God. Temples of the Holy Spirit. What great dignity. If we live according to our dignity, our destiny is going to be in heaven for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, next. Jesus calls us by name. Jesus actually calls us, but it's up to us to attune our ears so as to listen to his voice. A question. How might Jesus speak to you or call you?
Prayer.
Prayer? Good. What else? Reading what?
The Bible.
Right? Another thing is this. He speaks to us often, are you listening? Through our conscience, right? You know what your conscience is, right? Jiminy Cricket, the typical one. You've got a conscience. That's an inner voice within us. And if you have a good conscience, what happens is this. When you do something bad, you feel bad. When you do something good, you feel good. That's called a good conscience. So you do something you know is wrong, right away your conscience starts to bother you. It's called remorse of conscience. When you do something good, you feel good. So part of our work is forming our conscience. It's my obligation to form the conscience of you as well as your parents as a priest. But your parents have to work on forming their conscience and to form your conscience. It's not easy. If you just look at the world has one criteria, and Jesus Christ has a criteria that's totally different, right? What does the world say? Eat, drink, and be merry, live it up, it's Miller time, you just got one life to live, go for it, no? That's the world criteria, right? Or Jesus says, hey, you want to be my follower? Renounce yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Totally different, right? So if you don't come here to catechism, you don't listen, you're not going to form your conscience well. But you know one of the best ways of forming your conscience, I said this 2 weeks ago in my homily, if you listen, is by going to confession at least once a month. Go to confession once a month, that helps to form your conscience in the light of the Word of God and the light of the Holy Spirit. Okay, okay, let's move on. We're number six, right? Jesus protects you. The Good Shepherd has a staff. You know what that staff is? It's a stick, right? He's got a staff in his hand. So it's not just to walk and to avoid stumbling, but also to ward off. Never heard the word ward?
Scared.
Okay. Ward off would be in Spanish proteger. To protect. Okay. To ward off. It's like he's not simply using the staff to walk, but if the wolf comes, he uses it to push the wolf away. Not just a walking staff. It's a protecting staff. So the wolf comes and he sees that, then the wolf is afraid of it. Wolf gets close and you point at the wolf and the wolf takes off. Well, kind of like a cross, but it's not. You've probably seen, some of you have probably seen a bishop. You ever go to the confirmation of your older brother or sister, or the bishop came in walking with that staff? You ever see that? Kind of like that. It's straight and then it curls at the end. Okay. Yeah, good. Kind of looks like a cane. And if you look at the bishop, there's 100 different types. Very good. You guys, that's a good one, yeah. And that's Jesus, the Good Shepherd, coming in through the door. You look on the cross, on the wall, you can see the cross, right? He's going to hang on the cross for us. Okay, let's move on. Next is Jesus defends you. When the wolf is on the prowl, know what that means? What does it mean the wolf is on the prowl? On the hunt. Well said. Good vocabulary. On the hunt, he's kind of looking for some easy sheep that's maybe lost when he's on the prowl and getting close for a frontal attack. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, blocks. He blocks the path with his rod and staff, preventing the wolf from harming you. Now, okay, let's look at it this way. You have, okay, the devil is there and he presents in your mind maybe a bad thought. Come from the devil. Do something that's against God's commandment. You don't pray, the thought gets worse and worse and worse. Give up prayer and you give into that. Then you feel bad. Or you got the bad thought, right away you pray to Jesus, you pray to Mary, then the devil leaves you. So a lot of this happens within us, but it's invisible. There's an invisible battle that we wage every day. Now, if we don't pray, we're not going to win the battle. But say, for example, you have a temptation maybe to say an unkind word to your mother. you know that's wrong. She's been bugging you, and you just want to say something just to hurt her feelings. You know that's wrong. And the devil is insisting, just say something to her to, you know, just tell her to bug out of my life, no? So instead of doing that, you say Hail Mary, and you see your mother, and you say, Mom, have a good day. See you after school. Victory. That happens to you guys probably every day, no? If you don't pray, the wolf gets the best of you. Then you go to school and you go to school and you're not at peace. You see what I mean? And it happens to us every day. It's just one example. Or you have a little brother that drives you nuts. Okay? There you're studying and he wants to come in there and you yell at him, and then the poor little guy breaks into tears, no? And you know that your little brother does that because he likes you and he wants to play with you, right? If he bugs you, it's not because he doesn't like you. He likes you and he wants your attention, right? He wants you to play with him a little bit. Sometimes the best thing, leave your homework for 5 minutes, play with him a little bit, then come back. That can be very pleasing to God, even though... shoot some hoops.
Right.
Or, you know, a little bit of, you know, soccer. Whatever you like. Or run. You know, run in the park if you're near a park and you go biking with him for 10 minutes, no? That can be very pleasing to God. Now, this is happening to us every day. Unless you have a good catechism, you're not aware of it. So it's the devil working on us, and Jesus is knocking at the door. The devil is knocking, and Jesus is knocking. We have to open up the door to Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of peace. A lot of peace in our soul. A lot of happiness. Is that clear? Happens to your mom, happens to me, happens to Mrs. Garrett, happens to all of us. That's part of life, right? It happens to all of us. It happens to the Pope. The Pope has temptations. Yeah? A lot. But the Pope also talks a lot to God, so he has the power of God with him too. Okay, so number 8, Jesus feeds you. Shepherd must feed his sheep with abundant and healthy grazing grass. As good shepherd of your soul, Jesus the good shepherd feeds you. Most especially in two ways. With his word, the first, with his word. Word would be, okay, word, the Bible truth. Or, for example, what we're doing now, I'm trying to feed you with the word of God. Explaining the Bible to you. I'm explaining to you two Bible passages. Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. I'm explaining it to you. Okay, the Bible truth. And what is the greatest sacrament in the Catholic Church? Do you know what it is? Begins with E. Okay, Eucharist. With the Eucharist. Another name for it is Holy Communion. Eucharist, Holy Communion. Eucharist, it comes from Greek. This is the way it's spelled. Okay, Eucharist. And it means thanksgiving. It comes from Greek. Okay, Eucharist, Holy Communion, the bread of life. Okay, number 9. Jesus brings you back. A good shepherd traces down the lost sheep and brings the sheep back on his shoulders. On his shoulders. Jesus What's that word? You know it. Welcomes. Jesus welcomes us back when we wander into sin after we have made a good sacramental confession to the priest who represents Jesus the Good Shepherd. So no matter what we've done, if we tell God we're sorry, He always forgives us. He forgives us quickly. Just like that. The Bible says God is slow to anger and quick to mercy. We are quick to anger and slow to mercy. We're the other way around. But we'll change. God's going to help us to change, right?
Yep.
Okay, next. Number 10. Jesus heals the wounds. The shepherd heals the wounds of the wandering hurt sheep. Jesus does the same once again through the healing grace of the sacrament of confession. So you get sick, you go to the doctor. When you commit a sin, then your soul becomes sick, you go to the priest in the confessional.
Yeah.
Got it? Okay. So physical sickness, the doctor. Spiritual sickness, the priest in the confession. Got the parallel there? Okay. Okay, Jesus loves the sheep. The most important quality of the good shepherd is that he truly
loves
his flock. And loved each one of the sheep individually. His love is
mortal.
Good word. No, the best. You said it's permanent.
Oh.
Well, you said it very good. Unconditional. Do you know what permanent means?
Forever.
Okay, well said. Yeah, forever. So it never changes. Good. Okay. Next. His love is permanent and never changes. Okay, right now we're going to be going through some modern wolves. Modern wolves. Don't forget, a lot of these wolves are very, very crafty, very tricky. But we don't want them to be in our lives, do we? What might be some of the modern wolves in the present society? Okay, that are on the prowl. To surround, attack, kill, and to devour. Okay. Sin and vices are the modern wolves, and there are many. We'll mention a few. What? Vice would be something that's it's a bad habit. Okay, vicio, yeah. A virtue would be a good habit. A vice would be a bad habit. We'll mention a few. Drinking, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality would be this. Say, for example, a married man cheats on his wife. You know what that is. It's also called adultery. Okay? You've heard adultery, right?
Yeah.
That's sexual immorality. Pornography, drugs. Drugs in their many forms. Gang activity. Excessive gambling. Abortion. Do all of you know what abortion is?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that wrong? Of course, that's wrong. Because only God gives life. Only God gives life, and only God can take life away, right? Okay, prayer to the Good Shepherd. Prayer to the Good Shepherd. Is there a prayer that we might pray to establish a deeper relationship and friendship with Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd of our souls?
Yes.
And most likely, this is the most famous psalm, or prayer of the Old Testament, in the whole Bible. prayed by Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, and even Jewish people. It is a psalm of the Good Shepherd. So all of you have your own Bible. So I invite all of you sometime tonight before you go to bed, go to your Bible and open up and find Psalm 23. It's short. You could read it in 3 minutes. It's only about 6 verses. You could read it. But read it and try to pray over it. That's the whole topic of the lesson today, right? Okay, number 15. Finally, where does Jesus refer to himself as the Good Shepherd? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus applies Psalm 23 to himself. So he takes that Psalm 23 and he applies it to himself. When he says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep.
And they know me.
Good. Good, you're catching on. I know my sheep and they know me. We should get in the habit of talking often to Jesus and recognize his love and care for me, so much so that he laid down his life for me. How great is the love that Jesus has for you and for me. Did you like this? Good, right? So you understand. Wolf, shepherd, sheep, all understand that, right? So let's say a closing Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. And glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end.